This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is hour number three of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Have an absolutely tremendous hour for you. We're going to be joined in 15 minutes by Wes Reynolds. He does such amazing work here at the network. His golf plays have been so tremendous all season long. And we're going to be taking a look at the RBC Canadian Open. And he's a man from the great state of Indiana. So we're going to need to discuss a little bit more of this Pacers versus OKC Thunder game number one game. How he's going to be deciphering it. If he's got any betting angles. I was mentioning in the previous hour, certainly a live betting angle is something I'm going to be taking a look at a little bit more, and I think that that's always so important to do, because for me, I find it to be very hard to have a lot of edges with regards to the NBA prior to the game, but when you get in-game, you're able to see a little bit more of the flow and the feel of the game. That's something that I think is so important, and that's something that I'm going to be doing a lot of in game number one, but I do have some thoughts with regards to a lot of these props that we've got for game number one, so we'll be breaking those down in a minute. Certainly, we have to take a look at game two of the Stanley Cup Final as well with regards of what we've got on that front too, and we're going to be taking a look at some great MLB baseball games as well. So we've got 13 games in total with regards to this Thursday. Typically, you only get like 7-8 games because it's a little bit of a getaway day, so we've got an absolutely tremendous hour, and in 45 minutes, you're going to be getting a lot of those MLB plays that I've got on the docket. As found it a little bit hard to be able to find the edges early on, but as these overnight lines are getting more, shall we say, solidified, starting to find more and more edges. But how about if we do lead things off by the fact that in game number one of the Stanley Cup Final, it was the Edmonton Oilers being able to persevere 4-3. You did get the over there on the total of 6, and that has led to this opener in game number two being at 6.5. The one thing that I just keep going to, because you've got a relatively similar money line on Edmonton here in game number two, as they're about minus 125, minus 130. It's ticked up by maybe like 5 cents from game number one in terms of a lot of those closers, but I do think that with the 6.5, you have a little bit of value to the under, because I do think that these guys that were out there on the ice for so long in game number one, again, recognize that you're going to be having the day off to be able to prepare for game number two, but I do think that there are some residuals with that. These guys are just not used to being out there on the ice, because they were out there until about 30 seconds remaining in that first overtime, so they're just not used to that long of an overtime session. Typically, you go to like penalties and things like that during the regular season, so I do think that that plays a little bit of a role in this, and I do think that for the Florida Panthers, they showed out very well, and I still do think that you've got the best player in this series in Sergei Bobrovsky on their side, and additionally, Sam Bennett, a guy that I'll continue to harp on with regards to Conn Smythe. He's now at 20-1. You were able to get him at 30-1 prior to the Stanley Cup Final, depending upon when you were able to bet that. But I do think that for Sam Bennett, him being able to have those two goals in game number one, that sets him up in relatively good positioning there. Now, with regards to Conn Smythe versus what we're seeing in the NBA, the NBA awards market, you're just not finding a lot of value here. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, minus $6 to be finest MVP, the only other guy on his team that is north of, or south of 80-1, I should say, is Jalen Williams at 35-1. So you're thinking that someone for the OKC Thunder, not named Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, wins finals MVP. You might be able to make a whole lot of shekels there, but I don't think that that's necessarily going to be the case. But just because I do think that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to be able to win finals MVP, just because I do think that the Thunder are going to be able to find a way to persevere and be able to win this title, does not mean that I necessarily think that the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander point prop for game number one is set very fairly. As right now, it comes with a little bit of juice, but I mean, with the under of 34 points, I do think that you're able to find some relatively solid value there for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think that he's going to be able to have himself a nice performance, and I mean, he's been dominating all throughout the postseason, but I do think that there's going to be a little bit of a feeling out period between both of these teams as well. I think that that leads to a little bit more value on the under. If I had to bet anything prior to the game with right now the Pacers 9 to 9.5 point underdogs to the OKC Thunder, I would be looking at that 230.5 to 231 under, just because I think that you could get a little bit of slow first half. Both of these teams start to be able to find their rhythm, and you're also coming off of a little bit of a lull as well for both of these teams. They did a solid job of being able to take care of business in their respective series. Neither of these teams let it go to a game seven, so they were able to get a little bit of rest and relaxation, and sometimes it's a factor of rest versus rust with these teams as well. And what I think is also going to be a fascinating watch in this series is what are you going to be able to get down low out of both of these teams? Because I do think that the rebound props are going to be interesting. We had Miles Turner just not give you anything on the glass in that previous series against the New York Knicks. Now, I didn't think that it was the world's greatest matchup for him, as you're going against Karl-Anthony Towns, who obviously he's able to do a nice job of being able to hold it down low, and he was really the dominator in that series. But still, you had him in that series against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and speaking, of course, of Miles Turner here, do a nice job being able to game in and game out, give you like 6-plus rebounds per game. That completely eroded against the New York Knicks. Now you've got his rebound prop at a 6. Now, if you go over, you're able to get a plus number, so you're going to be having to lay some juice if you're looking to go under 6 rebounds, but I don't think that that's necessarily the world's worst look, and I always do think that with regards to some of these props and some of these numbers that, shall we say, are a little bit more juiced up, it's all about the implied probability. What percentage do you think that a bet is going to hit? Like, if you think that something is 75% to be hitting and you're getting at it at a minus 150, that is tremendous value. If you have a number that is like 5-1 that you're finding and you only think that it's like a 15% chance of it hitting, well, if you think that there's a 15% chance of it hitting, plus $5, that's not up your wheelhouse. So always do be mindful of that. And I'm very mindful of what we've got in terms of the rebounding prop here in this NBA Finals, as we got Pascal Siakam at 7 rebounds at a plus 105, which I do think that that's another one that we won't take the under on. Now, I think that Chet Holmgren is going to have himself a big series. I could easily see him put up a double-double here in game number one. His rebound prop is 10. It's the highest of any player out there in this game, but it's set high for a reason. And with Chet Holmgren, been very impressed by his overall maturity, the way that he's come off of injury over the last few years in general, and I think that he's going to be able to have himself a tremendous series. Again, with Miles Turner, I just still do have my question marks after that series that we saw against the New York Knicks in terms of him being able to hit the board, so that has caused a little bit of trust issues there. But that said, if I'm looking at anything with regards to this game number one, under of 230.5, looking at quite a few player prop unders like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Heck, if you're looking at Miles Turner in terms of scoring as well, 15 points is right now where his player prop is at, albeit you're able to get even money if you go over. But again, I just don't see it with him. I think that's going to be a little bit of a rough Miles Turner series in general. And what else is something that you do want to be taking note of is everything that we've got over at Edge Boost. Edge Boost is making sure that bettors are able to access their funds 24/7, 365 on leap years, 366 days out of the year, because it's a first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions get approved 100% of the time. You've got no usage fees, no minimums. You're able to earn cash back rewards, 100% approval on all betting deposits. And when you sign up today over at edgeboost.bet, utilize this promo code of cash, C-A-S-H, that gives you a dollar-for-dollar match on your first deposit of up to $25. As it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So we've deciphered both of these final series. Now let's take a look at a little bit more of the day baseball action, as we are settling into this day baseball sort of routine where we actually have, with days that end in Y, games that start before 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. So thank goodness gracious for that. And this is going to be one of the earliest games on the card. As a matter of fact, the earliest game, as you've got a 12:15 p.m. Eastern time. You're looking West Coast, 9:15 a.m. start between the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Atlanta Braves. This after their game wrapped up after 11 o'clock on Wednesday. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic and an interesting turnaround here. This is right at the top of the board, 901, 902. You've got yourself Brandon Pfaadt going for Arizona and Granholms. He's on the bump for Atlanta. With Atlanta, you're finding them as low as about a minus 130. Seeing as bad as minus 142, but mostly seeing about minus 130, minus 135, and that total is 9. And for Pfaadt, well, he is trying to battle, but I know that this is a coin that was turned by Scott Seidenberg here at the network. Instead of a no-hitter, he threw a yes-hitter in his last start. He did not get a single out for the Arizona Diamondbacks, and everyone, I think, got either a hit or a walk. I don't think they actually gave up any walks. You might have given up a hit by pitch or two, but yeah, that's rough, to say the least. When you give up 8 runs and you don't get a single out, that's an ERA booster, and I think he's a little bit better than the 5 ERA, and he's posted up, and he has been giving up quite a bit of hard contact as well for a good friend in Mr. Pfaadt, about 1.7 home runs allowed per 9 innings. I do think that that's going to be mitigated a little bit more, but again, if you don't get a great start out of Brandon Pfaadt, this bullpen is just not good, and they're not going to be able to hold down the fort for you. With A.J. Puck being on the injured list, that really hurts them. Now, Jalen Beeks has been able to give you about a 3.5 ERA as a long guy, and Shelby Miller has been a really good long guy for you as well, but I do think that it just leaves a lot to be desired with regards to that Arizona Diamondbacks bullpen, even with having Justin Martinez coming back in the fold. Now, one thing that doesn't leave something to be desired has been the lineup of the Arizona Diamondbacks since the beginning of the 2024 campaign. Top three team with regards to runs per game. Recognize that they're down a little bit from where they were during the 2024 season this year, but Corbin Carroll and Eugenio Suarez, these guys have been absolutely remarkable at hitting the deep ball. Both of these guys have been able to combine for 30 home runs thus far this season, actually 34 home runs between the two of them, as both have 16 plus, with in Eugenio Suarez not necessarily hitting for the world's greatest average at a 227. Carroll's giving you north of a 330 on base, so he's been able to help out with that a little bit, but you just don't have a lot of guys that are easy outs in this lineup, especially with Ketel Marte coming off of the injured list, north of a 400 on base over there. After the Atlanta Braves, how about another guy that's coming off the injured list, Ronald Acuna Jr. He's been able to do a nice job finding a way on base, giving you north of 400 on base, and then you've got Marcel Ozuna's been able to give you 400 plus on base. Matt Olson, right now leading the way with 12 home runs. You'd like to see him give you a little bit more batting average at about a 237, but he's got that 335 on base himself. And I was talking about the issues with the Diamondbacks bullpen for the Atlanta Braves. It's a pretty rock solid bullpen. Dylan Lee, Alonzo Hernandez, a sub-3 ERA out of both of these guys. Now, you do have Hernandez, who's been dealing with a little bit of ailment, but likes of Aaron Bummer and Yelda Los Santos have been able to step up quite a bit. So I do like this total over. I set my total 9.2 and do find some value here with the Atlanta Braves on the money line. Where I find a lot of value is with talking with Wes Reynolds about some golf. We head north of the border with them on the flip side right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line. He's one of our main contributors here at VSIN. Does such a tremendous job on the golf front and also a native of the great state of Indiana. So certainly have to talk some Pacers and so much more with Wes Reynolds. He is joining me right now. Wes, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Greg, good to be with you, pal.
It is great to have you aboard, Wes. And Wes, before we dive in on the golf front, which we're going to be heading north of the border, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. And I know you've got quite a few picks on this week's card. Let's talk about what we're going to be getting in terms of game number one of the finals, with the Pacers taking on the OKC Thunder. For most places, you're finding this number between 9 and 9.5, with the Pacers being the underdog, right around about 230.5, 231 with the total. How do you take a look at this game number one for a Pacers team that have been some of the biggest upstarts here in the postseason? And I'm sure that you'd agree with me, the cardiac kids and the way that they've been able to have so many comebacks.
Yeah, they certainly have. Now, game number one of the finals, if you're a trend player, the favorites have been very good to you. I think it's 17-3 actually since 2005. So the last 20 years, favorite is covered and won and covered game one. So I'm not necessarily looking to get in front of the Thunder, because I think game one of this series, it's kind of like, I want to see a little bit how it is going to play out. On the surface, I think a -$7 is a little bit high. I think the Thunder are the deserved favorites. They won 68 games, for God's sake. So they absolutely should be the favorite. But I think that was put high because I don't think the odds makers want any more Thunder money on the series. So they're making you get creative with how you bet this. Maybe you lay a little bit of PGA for MVP or try to get you to do series spread. But the thing about the Pacers, and you described it, I think, perfectly, cardiac kids, they've been terrific. When they've been trailing in the second half, they're 6-1 against the number in these playoffs. So these guys, you know, never say die, and they can score, and they can score in a hurry, as you saw in the number one against the Knicks where they stole that one on the road. But yeah, I'm sitting out for game side. I may take a look at the first half under. I think that could be worth at least a small play at under 113, just simply because first half unders have been really good, especially early in the NBA finals, games 1-4, like the last about 63% for the first half under. And these teams have been off for a few days, so could be a little bit of a feeling out process, because this is a step up in class for the Pacers to play this Thunder defense that's arguably the best in the league. It's also last of the Thunder defense to defend this Pacer offense. So probably not a lot of like prop bets here for me, player props or anything like that in game number one, because you want to get an idea. I think it's tough to, you know, really, you're playing a little bit of a guessing game, in my opinion, in game number one in these series for player props. But probably first half under is all I'm looking to do here. And then assuming the Thunder wins, I think that that could be an opportunity to get involved on the Pacers, not only for game number two, but also from a series spread standpoint. If you want to take like 2.5 games, you're certainly going to get even bigger plus money if and when they lose tomorrow night.
Yep, I agree with you on all that you said, and I'm so glad that you mentioned the first half under as well, because I am typically someone that I like to bet a little bit more in-game with the NBA, but if I had to pick something right now that I had to bet, I would be going with that full game under, actually, just because I do think, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but across all sports, across just so many different just big games in general, like we're going to be getting in terms of game number one, I just always default a little bit more to the under, because I do think that there's going to be very much a feeling out process in game number one for both of these teams.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, because I think there's some nervous energy really on both sides, and really maybe more on the Thunder side, because now the Thunder have the spotlight firmly planted on them, because they've had the best record in the league throughout the year, but it kind of felt like they got ignored by the national media, or maybe not taken as seriously. It's like, okay, let's see what they do in the playoffs. And you know, they had that 7-game series with Denver, and then really ran out Minnesota in game number five with a 4-1 win. But I think now the Thunder, now the expectations are there. The expectations aren't there on the Pacers, because they were the 4 seed. They weren't expected to get here, and now they're here yet again. So first time in 25 years, I'll admit I got a little bit of bias, Greg, and a little bit of homerism. I used to work for the organization, grew up obviously as a fan of the team. So no, I'm not going to bet the Oklahoma City Thunder to win the series. I got a courtesy bet at 5-1 on the Pacers to win the series. Do I expect to cash that ticket? Not really. But I think you're going to see nervous energy really on both sides. And I've seen it on the Thunder side more so in game number one.
Yep, I think that that's so well said by you. And being from the great state of Indiana, of course, you've got to have that ticket on the Indiana Pacers. So I love that, as we've got Wes Reynolds, one of the great contributors here at VSiN, joining me right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And what else we do here at VSiN is take a look at the ponies and the final jewel of the Triple Crown. It is here, the Belmont Stakes. That's going to be going down this weekend, and it's no better time to be able to bet all the ponies than over at First Bet. New users are able to get a $200 sign-up bonus just by utilizing the promo code of VSIN200. That's VSIN200. Whether you're a seasoned horse player or brand new to the sport, First Bet has got all the tools to be able to elevate your game. Download the First Bet app now, or go to firstbet.com/VSIN to sign up today. That's FirstBet, the number one, stbet.com/VSIN. That promo code is VSIN200. As we've got Wes Reynolds, who does such amazing work here at the network, joining me on Cashing Out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. And Wes, how about if we take a look at the sport that you've been doing so great in this year? How about if we take a look at some golf, as we've got the RBC Canadian Open, as we go north of the border, and you've got one very demonstrative favorite. It's not quite the favorite that we've seen with Scottie Scheffler, and you don't have Scottie Scheffler in this tournament, so that means that everyone else has a little bit more of a shot, but Rory McIlroy is at +450. You've got Ludvig Åberg currently at 14-1. Everyone else is north of 20-1, and how do you decipher this one? And did you go with one of the two short shots, or are you looking a little bit more further down the board?
Yeah, I don't have to lose to Scottie Scheffler this week, so maybe I have to lose to Rory McIlroy, because this is a course that I think kind of tailor-made for him. Wide fairways, off the tee, very long par fours, long par fives as well, so that takes advantage of his superb driving. But I didn't bet him this week. He's won the Canadian Open twice. A little bit different course than they're seeing this week for the first time at TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley. So went a little bit down the board and went with a couple guys that are around 28-1. Went with Sam Burns, who's Scottie Scheffler's best friend on the PGA Tour. So maybe he's happy not to see his buddy playing this week and taking a week off ahead of the U.S. Open and thinking, okay, I got more of a chance to win right now. And Sam Burns' game has been coming around, 4 top 20s, last five starts, leads the tour in putting. So I think he could go well here. Ask in Taylor Pendrith, who is a Canadian, the only Canadian on my card. Only one Canadian has actually won the home open there since 1954. It was Nick Taylor in 2023. But this guy's been playing very well. Fifth at the PGA, 12th at the Memorial, was second in strokes gained ball striking, and behind, you guessed it, Scottie Scheffler at the Memorial. So he's playing solid. Torbjørn Olesen, another one to look at in the mid-range at 50-1, who got a U.S. Open qualifying spot in nearby York, Ontario on Monday. So I think he carries that momentum over, as does Erik von Rooyen at 100-1, who actually won the Columbus site for the U.S. Open Monday qualifying, where he was 13 under par. He's six strokes better than the rest of the field. So EVR at 100-1, and then a couple others. Kurt Kitayama, 60-1, very long off the tee, very good on approaches from 200 yards or more. That's what you're going to have to be this week. You're not going to have a lot of wedges into these greens. And then Matty Schmid, who was runner-up a couple weeks ago at Colonial at 80-1, and that course really didn't fit his game. I think this one does, because it's a little more wide open off the tee. You can really kind of, I think, grip it and rip it and take driver a lot off the tee, and that's the German's wheelhouse here. So Matty Schmid at 80-1. So should be a good event. You got a solid field here this week, but a lot of guys taking the week off, obviously, because Oakmont next week for the United States Open.
Yep, I think that you've got some really good selections there, and I do want to ask you about this as well, because it is a event that doesn't have Scottie Scheffler. Are you a little bit more or a little bit less prone to be betting top fives, top tens, more of the derivative markets with Scottie Scheffler or without? Because I think that that's an interesting dynamic of what we've seen out of his dominance this year.
Yeah, I think certainly with the outrights, you could bet the without market. But I think a better way to do that is to bet those derivatives, especially, like, you know, I go a little bit more, I guess, I don't want to say conservative here, but I go like top 20, especially when you've got a full field this week of 100. One of those signature events like last week where you only got 70. Bang for your buck if you're playing top 30s, top 40s. But this is the week, I think, to do that. I think you're going to have a couple surprises up there on the leaderboard and different motivations for different guys. Everybody wants to win, but some guys are just kind of fine-tuning a little bit that are going to be playing an open next week for the U.S. Open.
I think that that's so well said by you, Wes. You've been doing such an amazing job gauging the golf front all season long, and every time we can get you aboard, it's always appreciated. Thank you so much.
You bet, Greg. Have a good night.
Always great to be joined by Wes, a native of the great state of Indiana. So it was great to be able to talk about the finals with him. Great to be able to take a look at the RBC Open, as well as we head north of the border with regards to what we're seeing in the golf front. And we did go north of the border with regards to the NHL front as well, with the Edmonton Oilers taking a 1-0 lead. We'll get you guys the odds on game number two, and we'll take a look at some baseball for this Thursday right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be joined by Wes Reynolds in the last segment. He does such an excellent job being able to gauge the golf front, does such a great job of just being able to provide a little bit of everything. As I always like to say at VSiN, he can do a bit of everything. Like, he's a big wrestling fan. He's able to give you something on the basketball front, football, golf, you name it, he does it. So big thanks, Wes, for joining me in the last segment. And because we did go north of the border in the golf front for this week with the RBC Open, how about if we do take a look at what we're getting in terms of game two of the Cup Final? Because that game number one was just absolutely insane. You saw the Edmonton Oilers with Leon Draisaitl being able to get a goal in the final segments of the first overtime, be able to will the Edmonton Oilers to a 1-0 win as they look to atone for what we saw last year in the Stanley Cup Final. And as of right now, things are holding relatively steady. This opener in a lot of places was right around about a minus 125 on the Oilers on the money line, and the total at a 6.5. Still holding steady with 6.5s across the board. Now, the game number one closer for the total was a 6 that was shaded up to the over, and this is a 6.5 shaded down to the under, as you're going to be laying minus 125 juice. But do think that that's a interesting, shall we say, tweak that they made, and it's a very very interesting game number two handicap, because I just still am of the belief, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I still am of the belief that because game number one went to overtime, and they very nearly had a second overtime in that as well. Even though you're going to have that day off on Thursday, that these guys are going to be a little bit more worn out. I think that this is going to allow the goalies to be very sharp in game number two. Like, we saw Edmonton just on the attack and doing so all throughout the entirety of the night. They were getting shots on goal. They were able to really put a lot of stress on Sergei Bobrovsky. And to the credit of Bobrovsky, even though he did allow four goals in this affair, I mean, for him to stop 42 shots like he did, he was able to do a nice job. And there were some very open opportunities that he was able to prevent as well. And then on the flip side, Stuart Skinner being able to give you 29 saves, that was pretty solid as well. But I do lean a little bit more to the under. I don't think that you're going to have as many shots on goal as you did in game number one. I do think that these guys are going to be just a little bit more tired after having had a lot of time off going into this game number one, really on both sides as well. So I do think that that plays a little bit of a factor. I do think that with both of these teams being able to settle in with their defense, I do think that it's going to be a little bit more of a defensive slog here in game number two. So that'll be a good one that's going to be coming up in about 48 or so hours. And now how about if we take a look at some fun that we've got on the baseball front, as we've right now got ourselves a slate of 13 games that's going to be happening on this Thursday. Really nice, because last Thursday we had five games. That was a little bit less than tremendous, to say the least. We've got day baseball, and that makes me happy because, as I always say, if the day ends in Y, you need to have yourself some day baseball. We certainly have that and then some. And how about if we do take a look at this game? This is going to be one that is happening north of the border. Let's stick with the theme. This is 919-920 on the card. The Blue Jays are going to be playing us the Philadelphia Phillies as Asil Cesardo goes for the Phils. And you've got Chris Bassett taking hook, line, and sinker for the Blue Jays. Now, this would have made my write-ups if we were getting the numbers that we did right now on the opener, because this opener was more of a total of eight, and the Phillies were about a minus 125 or so favorite. This is rounded into form to where the Phillies are anywhere as low as minus 111, as high as a minus 118, and a lot of places you're getting even money or worse on this Blue Jays money line. I'm seeing it straight 103 here at Circa, but total on this game is now up to 8.5, and I do think that something that you want to be mindful of with these pitchers is just taking a look to see if they had one or two bad outliers. Like, it's a big reason why I was willing to back Emerson Hancock on Wednesday for the Seattle Mariners. And unfortunately, the Mariners weren't able to get the job done. That wasn't Emerson Hancock's fault, though. He went 5 1/3 innings. He was rock solid. Team just really couldn't hit to save their lives. And for Asil Cesardo, you want to talk about an outlier of a game for him against the Milwaukee Brewers. 12 runs allowed in 3 1/3 innings. Like, this guy went from the Cy Young hunt to being completely out of it just in one start. Very unfortunate. And for the Phillies, the fact that they left him out to dry that way, I almost feel dirty for Asil Cesardo in terms of what happened there, because he had going into that game an ERA of a 2.15, a 2.25 fielding independent. He's getting like 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. Like, he had all the metrics to be a Cy Young candidate. Now, do I think that he was going to be able to win the Cy Young? Most likely not when it's all said and done, but I thought he was going to be one of those guys that could be like a number three, number four guy. And you know what? If he gets hot, anything can happen, because he's still giving you those 10.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. The walks per 9 rate is below 3. He's still, despite the fact that he got banged around like a pinata against the Milwaukee Brewers, giving up 0.6 home runs per 9 innings. So you got a 358 ERA, a 267 fielding independent, doing for all sorts of positivity, in my opinion. Then you've got Chris Bassett. And for Chris Bassett, it's been a case where he's been able to have himself one of his better years in quite some time, because he's been rounded to form with the command. For Chris Bassett, ever since he got to Toronto, one of the big things has been him giving up some walks, 3.7 walks per 9 innings last season. That's down to 2 walks per 9 innings this year, right around about 9.5 strikeouts per 9. Now he's got a 380 ERA because of what we've seen in the last few starts, but the fielding independence more around about a 357, because it is a case where he has given up now 3+ runs in 3 out of his last 5 starts. That's a little bit more of a cause of concern, because if you have like 1 or 2 bad starts, okay, understandable. Like with Asil Cesardo, got completely lit up by the Milwaukee Brewers. I believe that that's the only start this year in which he's given up more than 3 runs. Meanwhile, for Chris Bassett, that certainly is not the case. But what I will say about the Blue Jays in this ordeal is that they do have the better bullpen. As for the Philadelphia Phillies, your best closer or your best reliever was Jose Alvarado, the closer. And, well, he got popped for an 80-game suspension for utilizing a weight loss drug. So that's not great. Ryan Kirkering has been able to give you a sub-325 you're pretty much the only guy in that bullpen that's give you a sub-325, as now you're looking to someone like a Max Lazor to be able to give you some innings. It's been a case where Jordan Romano has been absolutely terrible for this team, and frankly, because these two teams did swap relievers. You've got Jordan Romano currently on the Phillies. You've got Jeff Hoffman on the Blue Jays. Neither team really has won this, by the way. You've got both of these guys with north of a 450 ERA, so that's been a bit less than tremendous. And for Yimi Garcia, he's dealing with a little bit of an injury for the Blue Jays, but you've had someone like a Brandon Little come up big with a sub-2 ERA. Mason Fluardi has been able to give you some good innings, but with this Blue Jays team, really the big thing for them is that they're powerless. For lack of a better term, they are powerless because Dalton Varsho, who missed 33 games earlier this season, he's tied for the team lead in homers. He's been able to give you 8 home runs, and you've got quite a few guys like George Springer, Vlad Guerrero Jr., along with Anthony Santander, give between 7 or 8 home runs apiece, and Santander just has not had a good season in general when he's been out there, as he's now a little bit banged up himself. But that said, you've got plenty of guys like an Alejandro Kirk that are able to give you north of a .280 average, so maybe they'll be able to do a good job there. Bo Bichette has been able to move the line. And for the Phillies, you've really got only two guys that give you north of 7 home runs this far this season, as Kyle Schwarber's been amazing. 19 home runs, north of a .375 on base, and then Bryce Harper, he was hit by that pitch off the elbow that kept him out for a few days. He's come back and he's already got a home run in this series. But for the Philadelphia Phillies, you need to get a little bit more of these guys like Max Kepler, Trey Turner, and Turner, to his credit, had a multi-home run game to be able to push him up to 7 earlier in the series. So you do like to see that. Nick Castellanos is still doing a good job of being able to get on base, but not necessarily give you a ton of power. But that said, with regards to Jesus Luzardo, do think that he goes out there, gets the job done. I think that both of these pitchers give you good performance at an 8.5. I like the under, and I'm going to be willing to take the money line of the Philadelphia Phillies. What else you want to be taking a look at is what we're going to be getting this football season. And if you want to be betting smarter this football season, you want to be a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you want to get in on this offer, because Josh Applebaum, he wrote the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook that is on and available for pre-order right now. It's a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. And you're able to get in on it right now by being able to take advantage of this promo code of book over at VSiN.com/subscribe, B-O-O-K. And with becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber, you get a little bit of everything that we do here at the network. Real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, a daily email with all the best bets from our VSiN show hosts and guests, 24/7 access to the VSiN Watch app. Plus, we've got our VSiN NFL betting guide for the 2025-26 season coming out in a little bit under 30 days. That's going to be dropping July 1st. This is a $41 savings off of our normal price with regards to the subscription. And plus, you get that sharp betting playbook thrown in there for free. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe, promo code B-O-O-K, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And we're certainly going to get you guys a lot of MLB picks in the final segment to be able to close up shop. But how about if we look at this game right now, as we've got the Cleveland Guardians on the road against the New York Yankees. Max Fried goes for the Yankees. Slade Cecconi is on the bump for Cleveland. This is a total of 8.5, shaded up to the over. And with regards to the Yankees, any between -250 to -265 favorites, so a mono number. And you're finding as low as +210, as high as a +221. With regards to Cleveland Guardians, if you're looking to lay a run out line, by the way, of this New York Yankees team, you're going to be laying anywhere between -125 to -130. So an exorbitant number there, and I'm just not going to be willing to do so. It's all about whether I'm going to be going money line or run line with the Guardians. Like, if I could get like a +115 run line on the Guardians right now, I'm finding that at a +110. I would absolutely love nothing more than to be able to take a shot on that. Slade Cecconi has given up 5 home runs in his first 3 starts of the season, but swing and miss stuff very much up. And Max Fried, he has been tremendous. Sub-2 ERA. I don't know if that's going to be long lasting, but again, he's out walking a lot of guys. He's doing a good job of being able to mitigate hard contact as well. So I do like that under in some form or capacity. Going to be looking at the Guardians as well on that money line, if not run line. And to wrap up shop next, how about if I give you guys everything that I'm looking at on the Thursday MLB betting board right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the final segment of the night right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If you're listening live to Cashing Out, you're going to be getting a replay of this fine program. Meanwhile, if you're listening to the replay coming up at 4 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern, it is going to be VSiN by the Books with Dave Ross along Jensen Lewis. Unfortunately, I won't be pulling the back-to-back-to-back like I have the previous Wednesdays into Thursdays, where I'm the last guest on Scott Seidenberg's VSiN primetime show. I was here, and then I do the first guest spot over there because I did the first guest spot earlier today. So that's always a lot of fun, and always like to be able to show off the suit collection as well. So that's a little bit of a point of pride of mine. But I mean, those guys, they do an absolutely amazing job, and it is my job now to be able to get you to that show safely, hopefully with a little bit more money in pocket as well. As we've got ourselves a lot of baseball to be able to decipher, and we do have ourselves a finals game as well. And I mentioned this with regards to the NBA finals game between the Indiana Pacers and the OKC Thunder. Right now with the Thunder, they're about 9.5-point favorites. Totals 230.5 to 231. If I were looking to bet anything prior to the game, I would be looking at the under. Myself and Wes Reynolds talked about this a little bit earlier on during the hour, and that typically with big games like this in a game number one of a finals series, you do find a little bit more of a feeling out process. Even though the Indiana Pacers have been such a high octane offense, they just have not seen too many teams like the OKC Thunder this year. And with the Thunder, obviously Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has been amazing, but a player prop of plus 35 points to be able to go over, that's just a little bit too much in my opinion. You've had Jalen Williams actually be really good for the Thunder team as well. I think they went very much under the radar. Now, I wouldn't want to go north of 20 with regards to a player prop of his as well. I'm looking at a lot of unders, especially with Miles Turner. He just didn't show me anything in that series that we saw against the New York Knicks. His rebounds were way down from that series against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I do think that Chet Holmgren going to be able to have some nice domination here in game number one. His rebound prop is at 10. That's really the lone of the big props that I'd be willing to take a shot on the over on, because I do think that Holmgren is going to be the best little post player in this game. But with regards to just taking a look at this game number one, I do think that it's a little bit correlated in that if you like the under, it probably bodes a little bit better for the Thunder on the spread. Meanwhile, if you like the over, it bodes a little bit better for the Pacers. But this is a game where I want to be feeling it out in game. I want to be seeing, all right, what sort of ebbs and flows are we going to be getting? And with the Pacers, if you're able to get a good number in game, that has been very profitable here in the postseason, as they have had three deficits of 7+ points that they've been able to erase in the final 50 seconds of the game. So that's where I'm going to be looking there. If I had to bet anything right now, I would be looking at that under. And how about if we take a look at what we're all going to be getting in baseball on this Thursday right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And what we do want to be doing is making sure that you know that all of our best bets here, they are brought to you by GBank. GBank is introducing the $500 trifecta, where they've teamed up with us First Bet as well to be able to get you guys a really nice value, where you're able to get up to $500 in value. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa signature card, and in your first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You're able to receive a $200 cashback rewards on your Visa signature credit card. At First Bet, they will give you a $100 deposit match. Visa completes that trifecta with a free Visa Pro subscription through October 31st. So that is a $200 value that gives you a $500 trifecta between us here at VSiN, First Bet, and GBank. You want to head on over to VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSIN.com/GBank. And this is a one-time promotion that is limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer. And this will not apply to requests for convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions, they do apply. And I was mentioning just before the break that I'm going to be in on the under in terms of Yankees versus Guardians. Have yet to play the side yet. I'm hoping that we're able to be able to get a little bit more plus value on the Cleveland Guardians. I think that we should be able to do so. But with regards to this doubleheader between the Royals and the St. Louis Cardinals, it's very interesting because I'm going to be splitting it up. Game number one, as long as we can get the Royals right around about a plus 115 or so, I'm seeing as good as a plus 116 on the money line. I'm going to be looking there, but I do like this total over because with Noah Cameron, Miles Michaelis, these are a pair of very much pitch of contact guys that I think that they're going to be caught up with a little bit of regression here. As for Cameron, Ainea has been incredible in his first four starts, 26 plus innings. He has allowed just three runs. He's posting up an ERA of a 1.10, but less than six strikeouts per nine innings, albeit pretty good with his command. Fewer than three walks per nine innings, but I do think that the regression monster is starting to come for him a little bit. And Miles Michaelis has just been able to put together a really nice surge in general. Like, Miles Michaelis' career looked like it was done a few different times last season and the season before, but he's been able to do a good job of being able to hunker down, not give up a lot of hard contact, albeit in his last start against the Baltimore Orioles, did give up four runs in that start, but he's right now giving up about a half home run per nine innings. But again, I do think that there's going to be a little bit of regression there. I do think that this Royals team that has been in the bottom six in the big leagues in terms of runs per game, they are going to be able to rise up a bit more with this offense. You still have got Bobby Witt Jr. in the lineup, who he's been having a bit of a rough go of it this year. For Bobby Witt Jr. Sanders, not talking like Craig Peterson Sanders. Like, I wish I could hit like Bobby Witt Jr., but he's been able to hit for north of a 280. He's been able to give you about seven home runs. You expect a little bit more on the power front from him. And then you've got a lot of guys like a Drew Waters and company that are towards the bottom of the lineup that they're honestly moving the line. They're getting on base, but they're not doing a great job of being able to hit for power. Salvador Perez has had very much a season to forget. And then on the Cardinal side of things, they're playing a lot of station-to-station baseball as well. Lars Nootbaar has led the way with eight home runs, and you've been able to have quite a few guys be able to mix and match. Mason Wynn has been able to give you a 350 on base. A little bit of power there, but Nolan Arenado has been way down with regards to those power numbers as well. And I do have a lot more faith here in the Royals bullpen. One that has been in the top eight in the big leagues in terms of bullpen at ERA, Carlos Aceves, Lucas Hersich, the eighth and ninth inning duo for the Royals has been supreme. And then you're able to throw in there the likes of Stephen Cruz, Daniel Lynch and company. And for the Cardinals, while you do have Ryan Helsley, I think he's one of the better closers in all of baseball. Three ERA, Kyle Leahy, along with John King, have been pretty solid as well. But you do have some shakiness with regards to some of these, shall we say, lesser guys that you've tried to mix and match with. So, like that money line with the Royals in game number one and that total over. And then you do like game number two over as well, mainly because with Cole Ragans, even though he's giving you 14.2 strikeouts per nine innings, he is coming off of pretty much a three-week hiatus. He last pitched in the middle of May, and that's something that you always want to be mindful of. I do believe that these guys, when they come off the injured list, even when they have proper rehab starts, they just are a little bit shaky, and it's hard to be able to simulate being on a big league mound even when you're at the minor league level. And for the San Luis Cardinals, you've got on the flip side a guy, Matthew Liberatore, who low-key has been one of the most underrated pitchers in all baseball this far this season, as he's been able to supply you with a sub-3.2 ERA. The fielding independent has been really good as well. He's not necessarily some sort of a swing-and-miss strikeout artist. He's only getting about 8 strikeouts per 9 innings, but 1.3 walks per 9 innings. He's only giving up 0.6 home runs for 9 innings, so that gives them a 265 fielding independent. And I do think that for the Cardinals, getting right around about a minus 115 or so in that game number two, they should be able to get it done. I do like them on the money line. And then this game, I think, is one of intrigue because this one did not make my VSiN write-ups, because this was a game where we really just didn't have any numbers when I filed these in, because typically I do mine based on like the overnight numbers. I typically have mine up by 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern, and up until the conclusion of Mets versus Dodgers here on Wednesday, we really didn't have a lot of openers. Right now it's opening up with the Mets being about a plus 120 to a plus 126 underdog, and then you've got about minus 136, minus 143 on the Dodgers with a total of 9.5, and I just trust in David Peterson here. Great name, by the way. He's been able to do a nice job of being able to mitigate that hard contact. 0.6 home runs allowed per 9 innings. 265, 270-ish ERA. Fielding independent is more around a 330, as he's been able to do a nice job in terms of being able to hone in with regards to walks, fewer than three walks per nine innings, but not necessarily getting as many strikeouts as he has in past years. And for Landon Knack, it does feel like he's rounding into form a little bit more with the Dodgers, but that's not saying a whole lot, as he has been necked around throughout his career, if you get what I'm putting down there. But for the LA Dodgers, it is a bunch that you know that they're going to be able to give you some offense with Mookie Betts and company just having their ups and downs in the last few days with Betts. I know that he was dealing with a little bit of an injury. You should have pretty much your full allotment of guys out there for the LA Dodgers. Obviously, Shohei Ohtani being able to give you 23 home runs, giving you nearly a 400 base. That has been tremendous for the team. And then you've got Will Smith, who's been able to pair up with Freddie Freeman and giving you north of a 325 on base. Those guys in the middle of the lineup have been tremendous. But on the flip side, you do have a Mets team that all of a sudden is getting hot at the plate with Juan Soto being able to give you multiple homers in the last 7 days. So that's been something that's been very encouraging for the team. Pete Alonso was able to launch two home runs on Wednesday. He's been able to come into form. He's been able to give you darn near a 400 on base as well. And I do think that for the New York Mets, this team is starting to really be able to find it on the road. And I do think that they're catching a Dodgers team that is dealing with a lot of bullpen issues at just the right time. I do think that you're going to get a good start out of Peterson. So at the 9.5, I do like that under. I do like the Mets on the money line. What else I love? We've got a great slate here at VSiN on Thursday. It all starts with VSiN by the books. Dave Ross along Jensen Lewis, 4 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern. They do a tremendous job. Then 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern time, you've got Gil Alexander Matt Brown filling in for Gil Alexander on a numbers game. And then additionally, we've got Money Moves that is going to be going down at noon Eastern. So rock solid lineup, rock solid day of sports right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.